One is Veera. Veera is the hero.
Kshatriya.
No. That's the caste system. And the lowest is the Pashu, all of us. One drink and you are gone. That sort of thing. And then they said that this is not for the Pashu, the ordinary the mere mortal. And this is only for the hero. Who can have a stable mind and utter equanimity, even in those conditions. Can you do that? That's what they say in the Mahabharata, that they were killing each other in war, but smiling. The hero I mentioned the other day, Bhishma, it seems he was fighting on the wicked people's side against his own beloved disciples, very dearly loved disciples. And, the scripture says they were fighting with bows and arrows, yes? And something would hit him. Pull that out. This is from my disciple, Arjuna. Marvelous. It burns. Only he is capable of hitting me so hard. That's the idea. Can you do that? Then there's no objection at all. You're fighting and doing what you like.
Impeccable warrior.
Yeah, right. And they also say that during that war, the hostilities ended at sunset. Then you fraternized. Yeah? Cocktail party. The evening was spent in cocktail party. And one hero in the whole war did something atrocious at night and he was never forgiven. Your wars take place only at night now. There's hardly any fighting during the day. Bombing, indiscriminate bombing, push-button bombing. Doesn't sound very decent. No, decent. Leave alone moral.
Would you say then that a parallel of what you're saying is that detached awareness of what you do makes it a more clear and divine act, regardless of what it is?
Detached awareness. If you had that awareness, you wouldn't ask that question. You know, I'll tell you why. Regardless of what the action is, makes me almost feel that your mind is sitting up there and asking the question, well, I want to do so and so, so and so, so and so. It doesn't seem to be right. But can I make use of this fellow? And make him give a statement that will justify this? Isn't that the mind that is looking for it? So instead of looking for an excuse like that, first things first, can I face the truth completely and utterly, straight, head on? Can I face the truth of life completely and totally, head on? Without making it an excuse or anything, without even thinking of the possible application of this principle in my favor. No. What is the fact, what is truth? That all that is born must die. All that has come into being must cease to be. Can the mind be saturated with that consciousness? That itself is the freedom. Not detachment, it's freedom, yes? Same thing, the words. It is freedom from this attachment. It is freedom from identification with the body. It is freedom from identification with my friends. It is freedom from identification with my people whom I have called, my wife, my children, my etc., etc. And the mind does not move because it is neither attracted nor repelled. Can this consciousness be sustained? Then, what this universal consciousness has to make happen, shall happen.
Then you do become not the doer.
There is no doer at all, there is action. It's just pure action. You see that? It's quite simple it is. I am not digesting this lunch. The lunch is being digested. I am not seeing you. Seeing happens. He was not, his foot was, he was not wriggling his foot. His foot was wriggling when he stood on the edge of the chair. That's it. Then you're free. When it comes to that, the brain does not ask any question at all. There's no question asked. There's no need for any question to be asked. When I am in that state of consciousness, can I do it? You see how absurd it is? That, does the question sound absurd to you?
Yeah,
that's it. When I am in that consciousness, where there is no doer at all, can I do it? And therefore the whole process of yoga is to look for this. Look for not the witness consciousness itself, but what spoils that witness consciousness. When the eyes are looking and seeing happens, what is it that says I see? That's what you are looking at. That's what you are trying to figure out. The witness consciousness cannot be seen. That is a seer. Yes? Is that right? You cannot stand on your feet. Feet stand. You know, in yoga classes you say, lie on your back. It is impossible. Have you ever tried? It's impossible. It is the back that lies on the mat. What do you mean, lie on my back? Peel the whole thing and put it there. So, the witness consciousness itself cannot be seen. It is a seer. Or there's no seer. Seeing happens on account of this, the presence of this witness consciousness. So what am I trying to do? I'm merely looking for the usurper. Something that pretends I'm seeing. When that is eliminated, the pure action remains. All the yoga bother is that. Whether you call it Hatha Yoga, or call it Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, you do what you like. That's yoga.
Hmm.
In Kundalini, something else happens, doesn't it? Isn't there such a highly increased flow of prana that the individual becomes transformed?
What has the individual got to do with the Kundalini in the first place? Let's think of that. What has the individual to do with the Kundalini? What is my relationship with the Kundalini? What is my relationship with the Kundalini?
Well, it's a passive one. It's a passive relationship. The Kundalini becomes activated. The individual merely undergoes.
Activated or non-activated. What do you think is my relation with the Kundalini?
Well, it's an aspect of your being.
My being? Of being?
Yes, of being.
What have I got to do with it? Kundalini is merely another name for the cosmic life force, which is all-pervading everywhere. And when that cosmic life force or prana or energy passes through certain fields of consciousness, there is a movement. There is a movement. There is a movement of prana in consciousness. That movement of prana in consciousness becomes a spiral, as we discussed the other day. Yes? The movement of prana in consciousness becomes a spiral. And the spiral action is there because the prana, when it starts moving in consciousness, doesn't always complete this circle. It just misses a little bit. Why it does so? I don't know, it does so. And that's how this spiral is formed. That's all. And that spiral is because of its conjunction with a certain consciousness or sankalpa, it functions as an individual. But that individual is not me, I. A little bit of... knock the brain a little bit. That spiral is not me, it's an individual. It is an individual. There's a tremendous difference between me and the individual.
Me is the false ego sense.
No, don't call it false already. Because it doesn't exist, why must I call it at all?
All right, it's the ego sense, which...
Yeah. The individual is the individual, it's the tree, the individual tree. And there's also a spiral in the tree. Kundalini spiral in the tree. And you snap one little twig, stick it there, that becomes a tree. The spiral again, individual. Individuality merely means indivisible duality. Yeah? It's two words joined together.
Duality.
You know the famous travelodge. They use one L instead of using two.
Oh, yes.
Travel. And then lodge. Repeat an L? Like that, someone joined the two words, indivisible and duality, and made it individuality. That's all. So, this consciousness and the movement of energy within it appear to be a dual, but it is not so. They are one, indivisibly one, but appearing to be duality. That's all.
Yes, I see.
And that happens in infinite number of atoms or infinite number of what have you.
Yes.
That's not a problem at all. Why does suddenly the I become? It's not my energy, therefore. It's not my kundalini. It is not my nothing. There's no my.
Because I'm still thinking of free will, that I made the decision to sit in a certain yoga posture, and therefore the kundalini.
You cannot. Oh, you cannot.
No, I didn't.
That's one of those funny things.
Yeah, the decision was made in me, and I merely went along with it. If I was sensible.
All these things happen, and somebody from somewhere jumps up and says, "I am doing this." What has to happen does happen all the time. Something, I'm doing this.
Or I shouldn't be doing this.
Yes. And this ego sense and all its comrades are the obstructions or the veils that apparently make this kundalini dormant. We talk of dormant kundalini, we talk of the sleeping kundalini, etc. Kundalini is never asleep. Right? Energy can never be asleep. Static, maybe.
Yes.
But not asleep.
Or the person would be dead.
Much worse. I mean, it's hypothetically impossible.
Yes.
It's like saying the light becomes darkness.
Yes.
The light may be eclipsed, and one may not be able to see it for one reason or the other. But that does not mean the light has become darkness.
Yes.
So, by virtue of its definition as the cosmic energy, cosmically manifest in infinite ways, in infinite places, if one can say so. And this cosmic energy cannot be dormant or hidden away or something. There is some mysterious veil. Some mysterious veil. How that happens, we do not know. Except that vaguely understand the spiral movement. I've lost the first full circle. And since I've lost the full circle, I'm still looking for it. And so I'm unfortunately moving farther and farther away. That's all. That's the only thing that can be. The first dot that started moving, not I. The first point that started moving, the first particle of energy that started moving, somehow missed completing the circle and it's spiraling round. That's all we know. And in that matter is created. And that matter which is created in that fashion, notionally, seems to hide the truth. And the yoga process is the reversal of the whole thing, so that the circle can be quickly completed.
But even when the ego makes this decision to go along with the process...
My God, you can't drop the ego into its decision?
Yeah, well, that's it.
All right. Go on.
Because that's presumably what we're all doing. We're trying not to interfere with this process.
That's another decision.
Yeah.
So, a false decision is not cancelled by another false decision.
So we didn't make the decision to not interfere. Even
then, No. Therefore, without deciding to interfere, or without deciding not to interfere, you and I are deciding to interfere in this, to stop this movement, and make it flow backward. Let's say, assume,
yes.
For the sake of argument. There are those other people there. They have decided not to interfere with this externalization and to eat, drink and be merry, forget all this.
Yes.
Arbitrarily, we are dividing the world into these two camps, mm-hmm. the yoga camp and the yes. concentration camp. Okay? Now, it is possible to see that both of us are doing exactly the same thing. As long as I am deciding to practice yoga, I am doing nothing more than the other fellow who says, I have decided to wage a war or kill or do something else. Exactly the same thing. You say, I am going to kill this ignorance. He says, I am going to kill the people. What's the difference? You say, I am going to destroy all these cravings and he says, I am going to destroy all these Vietnamese. What's the difference? Same thing. And therefore, wisdom lies in neither this nor that, in trying to see, is there a thing called a doer? Is there a thing called the ego sense, which really and truly possesses the free will to decide?
Now this is splitting hairs, but the question is the decision.
I think many of them have got, but that's not important.
The questioning is a decision, and that's what I mean. I think that's a silly question that I'm asking.
No, it's not a silly question, it's a very serious question, on the contrary.
Well, it's a question with words, because you get the feel of it. I know what you say, I know the feel of it. And here I am trying to make a logical construct.
Mm-hmm.
So without,
there is no logic in this at all. Mm-hmm. Because as long as we are caught in this logic, it is the mind, it is the brain that is cooking up all this logic. Mm-hmm. This happened and therefore this happened. That happened and therefore I am making this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One drops logic like a hot brick, and look with the eyes of an infant. I have done this, I have done that. I have enjoyed myself, I have restrained myself. While I was enjoying myself, I have told myself, oh, what a nice, strong man I am, what a marvelous person I am. Everybody likes me, loves me. When I have restrained myself, I have used the same expression, except that I changed a few words here and there. Ah, what a marvelous ascetic I am. I don't care for anything hereafter. I'm still the I is still the same. It is the I that says I enjoyed. It is the I that says I have ceased to enjoy. Having seen this, I'm trying to see if there is the I at all. And then, finally, it is the eye again that tries another trick. And here you are in a corner, tight corner, unable to move, and the whole thing bursts. That is when the Kundalini has come back to that full circle. It does itself. If the brain does not interfere, saying that I want to do this or I don't want to do this, then the spiral movement somehow comes back to the full circle.
Does that mean that you can't even say, I want the Kundalini to come back full circle?
You don't have to say so, sir, and you're saying it is not going to make it possible. people you have? Do you ever read your Bible or something? No. So,
yes.
You know, if famous saying of Jesus, who has added a cubit to his stature by taking thought? That's it. That's there.
He's what, added a what?
Added a cubit to his stature by taking thought. I don't know, it's probably King James Version Day or another version. So one has to reach the understanding that this is not thought produced, thought made. Hair grows on your head, and then you do it this way, do it that way, and say, how nice I look. That's it. It is not in your power at all to grow that hair.
No, it's not.
No, I'm not.
I lost that power years ago.
Thank you. Now, he walked right into your trap, yes? I lost that power.
Yes, he never had it.
He never had it.
Yeah.
If he had it, he would never have lost. So, in one man's case, it's just growing, and the other man's case, it doesn't grow. Mm-hmm. He says, what a lovely lock of hair I have. And he says, I have lost it.
Yeah.
When you realize that both these things, the eye has nothing whatsoever to do with either of these, then what happens? That's it. That's all. Now that I heard it, I don't know, please, I don't know if you think I'm very frivolous. That is probably why they thought it was a serpent, Kundalini. Something like, you know, the hissing of a serpent. And it's awakened now. It's so easy to see. And yet somehow we don't see. Why don't we see? I don't know. Thank you. The lesson came from you.
This idea of responsibility is built in so early in one's life about you're a bad person because you've done this, or you're a good person because you've done that, and aren't you ashamed of yourself? And
if I'm ashamed of myself? Now, apart from that, I don't know if here's the authority in English. Responsibility, to me it only means if someone asks a question, I can give a response.
Yeah.
That's all.
I can give a response. See?
Pardon?
You say, I can give a response.
Whatever it is, the response can be produced. Or a response can happen. That's a responsibility. That is, if someone asks a question, there is a response. And that is the responsibility. What other responsibility do I have? What is all this other responsibility that you talked about? That you are a bad guy, you are a good guy, and you are this, and if you do that, that will happen. If you do that, this will happen. All. So what?
So when you're a child, and what continues to when you're grown up, if you don't want to get punished, you don't do certain things.
I do. Switch the light off, or make sure that nobody sees, and that sort of thing. Has it ever stopped? No, none. If I'm a bad guy, I'll go to hell. But then he says, no, you don't have to go to hell. You come to my church and give me some money, and I'll pray for you, and I'll give you a certificate of absolution. Mm-hmm. Hey, crazy world. None of these things has ever stopped us from doing what they intended these things would stop. What responsibility do we have? To whom? In what manner? When there's a lovely little story told, I'll tell you just the last bit of it. A poor villager who had never travelled on a railway train once got into it. And somehow he had a feeling that he had bought a ticket only for him and not for the suitcase. So he picked up the suitcase and put it on his head. And he was quite satisfied that he was moral and he was not cheating the railroad company at all, and it's not absolutely 100% because he was carrying it. Nobody could convince him that it was the train that carries it in any case, whether it was on his head or down below on the floor. When I myself don't know where I am, what kind of responsibility does I have towards others? It doesn't make sense. It makes sense in the field of illusion. Yeah. We sort of, in this darkness of ignorance, both of us enter into a collusion, an arrangement. That I